And welcome back to another edition of City View with Mayor Tom Koch on a podcast. This is a podcast, Quincy Podcast, where, by the way, if you're home and you have a smart speaker at home, an Alexa device or Echo, or I hate to say that because if I'm in earshot of a Amazon Echo or Alexa, it's going to turn on. So, but what you can do is just say, Alexa, play me podcast Quincy, and it'll play the latest episode of the mayor's show. And I am Mark Carey. I'm the mayor's media director, and clearly not that media savvy today in the mayor's office. Hello, Mayor.
Hello, Mark. Beautiful, sunny, chilly, but sunny February day.
Still, it's no snow on the ground. It's where are we at? We're on February 21st, and there's no snow on the ground.
Loving it. Loving it.
Well, we covered that in our last podcast, so we'll skip that today. But let's just jump right into the issues today and just a few things that we wanted to talk about, because we're not going to be here for a little. We're going to be off for a couple of weeks. So I'll be off next week, and you won't be here the following week, because you'll be in Ireland.
I'll be in cold, rainy, dreary Ireland in March.
It's actually, I've never been there in March.
But, well, the weather's not great, but it's not a sightseeing trip. It's a business trip. Looking forward to it.
Because we are sister cities with Cork, Ireland, which, by the way, my ancestors are all from Cork. I'm 100% Irish.
Sure, that's why we chose Cork, Mark.
I'm 100% Irish. I found out from my DNA that I'm fully Irish, and I said that to somebody, and they're like, no kidding, you have the map of McGinty on your face. So please say hello to my ancestors in Cork, if you will.
Will do. Will
Carries
do.
And Carries and Duffies and all.
Anybody like still around, or are they all gone?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
we've been here for a long, long time.
Sure.
So, which is amazing that we're 100%. When I saw my DNA, I figured 68%, but 100% Irish. I was like, whoa, all right, that's good.
That's good.
Moving on.
Well, yeah, working. Just so we know, this is a business trip. We just established this a few years ago. There's been some great visits from the Cork folks coming here over the
many
last
times,
few years.
Yeah.
And so I feel it's out of fairness, at the very least, I can get over there. Tim Cahill's been coordinating with the chamber. We've got, I think, 10 or 12 people going with us, some business folks. There'll be some discussions about education. There'll be discussions about the economy. What kind of opportunities could there be for Quincy businesses? And what kind of opportunities for Cork businesses here in Quincy. So,
and of course,
it's
the culture. The culture is amazing, too. Those cultural trips are amazing, too.
Absolutely.
Important.
Good stuff.
Great. Well, enjoy. Have a good time, as they say.
We'll try.
That's right. Now, let's move on to the next issue. All right. The city of Quincy applied to the state for for a new Squanum school again, right? We reapplied.
Yes. It's a lengthy process set forth by the School Building Authority, which is, you know, It's gotten more lengthy and more complicated over the years, and I understand that. A lot of school districts in Massachusetts, a lot of them looking for help from the School Building Authority, rebuilding their schools and infrastructure. So we have been rejected the last couple of years, and in talking to the director, Jack McCarthy, this past fall, he indicated to me that we just missed out by a whisker. They essentially do this by need. So they look at all of the applicants. Engineers, experts go out and physically look at the buildings, look at the challenges, and that's how they determine who's up next for that. So Squanum School is the worst in our system, but it's not the worst in the state. So there's some school buildings that were in worse condition that got bumped ahead of us. So that's probably not the right term, but scored ahead of us.
Sure.
So this year we'll be reapplying again. I think we'll have a good shot, although I'm not going to wait until they accept us into the process to get the discussion going. We're going to be engaging an architect this spring. We're going to be doing some initial conceptual design work, showing massing where the buildings could be, how the egress could be. That's a tight site as it is. It's a long linear school. We'd probably do a two-story school, try to fit in the neighborhood, but at the same time maximize the efficiencies of the building so you're not using up as much of the open space around it. So we can get that process going with some short dollars, really, at the local level, engage the community and get some feedback on that. So then our next round when we go in, we'll be a little step ahead in that we'll be a little more prepared rather than starting from ground zero, which usually what happens when you start in that process. It's an acceptance into the process. Then that trips all kinds of steps and thresholds you got to cross before you get the final approval and the final dollar amount.
Well, I would imagine it's very helpful to be as experienced in this. You've done this already this has been three times. You've built three schools. So we understand how this works, and it really is important in that.
It does. We have a great team, our public builders department, you know, Paul Hines and the team, the superintendent, Christopher and his team. The board of directors at the School Building Authority raves about Quincy. They call us a model on how to operate and how to deal with these issues and challenges. We have all the experts at the table, the right consultants, and we do it right. And we have been successful with 3 new schools, but you know, I'm not happy. We got to keep moving.
That's right. Get
the next one. And then one after that, hopefully.
Well, 20 schools in the city of Quincy. A lot of work has been done to a lot of these schools. I know we've talked about this recently on the show, so we won't do that. But immediately, let's talk about something that, since we're on the school issue, storm surge issues have been a problem at Broad Meadows, especially when we have some major storms. So talk about what's going on.
Yeah, I know
there.
We talked a lot about seawalls, and we talked about the storms of 18, two major coastal events which had this incredible storm surge. So, you know, we're dealing with the seawalls facing the Quincy Bay side. But there are other issues that occurred. Broad Meadows School, which is named for the area it's in, Broad Meadows, is right off of, the town river comes into that side. So it faces more south, if you will, towards Weymouth and that area. Well, the storm surge from those storms creeped in up through our marshes and everything. It wasn't just about wave action. It was also about the rising of the tide, if you will. I know that term's used a lot. So we had this tide kind of back into Broad Meadows and infiltrate the school. And essentially, when that school was built back in the 50s, the boiler room was down below sea level in the floodplain. So it destroyed a lot of the equipment. Paul Hines and his team did an incredible job moving immediately, making some good changes and moves. But it's time we fix that permanently going forward. So new boiler systems, new electrical systems, and getting it up out of the floodplain, which is the main goal here. So this is an appropriation we'd be asking the city council for so we can deal with this. I talk a lot about infrastructure. There's horizontal stuff, there's vertical stuff, there's buildings, there's pipes, there's roads, there's seawalls. We got a lot of infrastructure we got to pay attention to, and we got to deal with this. So Broad Meadows is in good shape overall, but we need to pay attention to this. So heating system will be upgraded, new boilers, electrical's been upgraded. We got to get this stuff out of the floodplain. So this next project will involve that.
Well, schools are very important to the city. I know you've always talked about that, but also public safety is extremely important in the city. That's our number one goal, is to make sure that we have a safe city, and it's always between fire and police. And let's talk about fire right now. We have some new firefighters coming on. We also have some new apparatus and fire trucks.
Well, first let me say this, that I think no matter what municipality you go to, I think first and foremost, public safety is number one. You want to be safe in your person and your home. And obviously, if there's a problem, you want to be able to call 911 and have response immediately. And then, of course, the second piece is what we talked a little bit about is education. I think those are probably rise to the top of all the things we do.
Right.
And a lot of good stuff we do, a lot of important things we do. We have a great mission, but those probably rise to the top. And yes, as we sit here later today, we're going to be swearing in 35 new fire candidates. Now, what happens here is they take a civil service exam. Veterans get some benefit on their score. They go to the top of the list if they score a minimum score level, essentially passing the exam. They get a benefit of moving up for their service to our country. And then, of course, we do interviews. We do background checks. We do psychologicals. We do physicals. So the process is lengthy. And now we're to the point where they get through all of that. We now swear them in today, and they begin the academy itself. So most people, will get through it, but there's still, the academy itself is challenging. Both there's a lot of written word work and a lot of physical work and a lot of practice in a lot of different ways, a lot of scenarios presented to them. So there's a lot of training necessary for these guys or women. I'm not sure what the breakdown is on this one until I see the faces. But the reality is that there's a lot of resources and effort that go into this process. So the time you call for the list and go through all the process, and by the time you go through the academy, by the time you get these folks on the pieces of equipment in the stations, it's almost a year. So it takes some time. Now, we got this many candidates because we were successful, and I give credit to the fire department. There's some great guys, the Murphy boys for one, that do a lot of grant writing. And then to have an advocate like Steve Lynch in the Congress that helps us push this stuff over the goal line, it's pretty amazing. So we got a SAFER grant for 16 men and women, I should say. 16 firefighters is what I should say. I have a grant for that for 3 years. So we're between the grant and the amount of folks retiring and all and the projected retirements, that's why we're in the vicinity of that 35 number. Now, interestingly enough, we're running our own academy because of the amount we have, we can handle our own academy. It gets certified by the state. We got a great fire department. We've got some incredible professionals and well-educated and have a lot of talent, skill set. So we're putting that to work with our own academy using the St. Mary's site, I think we talked a little bit about that in the past. That's the site we purchased for future school use, but it's sitting there idle right now. We own it now. So there's a rectory and a school building there. So the rectory is going to be used for classroom space, and the school will be used for the actual academy of some training. Now, we're not going to be doing burning there, so we're not going to have smoking going through the neighborhood. But there's a lot of exercise and activity that that building can be used for practice. We'll probably go to the Moon Island facility that Boston owns for those burning scenarios that they actually do burning out there. It's set up for that out there at the academy in Quincy, but on Boston's own Moon Island. So a lot of work goes into this, and again, we have a great team with our fire department, Interim Chief Joe Jackson, who's been the administrative deputy for years, works very hard. In addition to these guys, though, we've been successful with getting equipment. You know, this last year we got a money for a rescue truck, and the city has to pay a portion to it, but I'll take that deal any day. And that is in, I think that's in final production as far as fitting it out. And they also got money for a new engine. And again, we'll pay a portion of what it costs to fit it out. But the cost of these pieces of apparatus are pretty, pretty expensive this day and age. And with the tiller truck that we have now in service, was $1.3 million. You know, that's
amazing. Yeah.
It's big dollars. Mm-hmm. But we have to provide our men and women on the front lines the resources and tools that they need to get the job done. You know, you know the public, when they call for help, they don't want any excuses. Mm. You know, they want help and they want it timely. And so I think we've shown that we've invested a lot of resources in our public safety personnel. First and foremost, the most important piece is the individual, the officers, the firefighters, the police officers that are on the front lines every day. But we got to give them, we got to upgrade on a regular basis, cruisers and vests and firearms on the police side. On the fire side, it's the right equipment, the gear that they wear going into these fires. We talked about in the past, we've put in all kinds of new washer and dryer gear, special showers in all the firehouses. So immediately when they're back from an incident, they can decontaminate and get that clothing off, shower down, get the clothing in the washing machine so that those contaminants which lead to cancer-causing, in many cases, are gone. We get rid of that stuff. So we've come a long way on the education side. I remember talking to old-timers years ago when they first started with the masks, the oxygen masks, going into firefighters, you know, the old-timers would say, "Oh, you know, only wusses wear those, you know, you're not a real man, you know."
Wow.
But there wasn't the education back then of what the carcinogens that they were dealing with, you know, breathing and gets in your skin and through your skin. And so there's a much higher level of education and what goes on in the science world and what happens in firefighting. So you know, we're catching up. We're still doing work at the stations. We got a lot of work to do, but we've come a long way over the last 10 years with our fire service, both in manpower, but also in the appropriate apparatus in the gear, as I just described.
And that's what makes Quincy such a desirable place. When we're on top of public safety, number one, when we have great schools, and then the list goes on and after that, you know, from our restaurants to our scene to the proximity to our parks. Of course, your parks never mentioned. Don't forget to mention parks in front of this man, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, I think that's what makes it such a desirable place.
Indeed. We're seeing a great influx of newcomers choosing Quincy because of those reasons. I mean, they look at schools. They look at crime rates. They look at public spaces. They look at library system, veteran services, you name it. I mean, the senior citizen programs we have with the Kennedy Center and the transportation, it's unmatched with many communities. So we have a great, great community here. We got to continue to invest to maintain that greatness in so many ways. And, you know, having the appropriate number of emergency personnel, first responders, is very important in the city of 100,000. You know, we owe them our best in providing the right resources so they can do their job. So today's a good day in Quincy. Firefighters being sworn in at the number that we're at. I think it probably may be the highest we've ever done in one swoop. So
that's great.
That's good stuff.
That is good stuff. Well, let's talk about some more good stuff. The General's Bridge is a new bridge that is halfway done. It's halfway there. It's amazing.
Which half? Do you know which half?
Listen, I can tell you about how to play a song or how to sing, but when it comes to this stuff, it's like...
So you think.
Goes over my head. Please, fill us in on where the General's Bridge is
at? Well, we've talked about for many years with the downtown. We need another egress. North-south through our city is pretty straightforward. You get Quincy Shore Drive, Hancock Street, Newport Ave, Quarry Street. But the east-west connections are a little more challenging because of the tracks. You know, we got the MBTA that goes right through our city, which is huge, by the way. It's great to have it here. But it makes it a little more challenging. So all the work we're doing, investment in the downtown, from day one, 12 years ago, when we started to talk about this, 13 years ago, we knew we would like to get another egress over the tracks in and out of the square. So this is the culmination of that. I thank Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito for this because the MassDOT, Mass Department of Transportation, is paying for this $10 million bridge, which is going to go from Bergen Parkway down to what is now the parking way area. It's between the Paul Harold Bridge, Hannon Parkway, and Granite Street. And it'll probably be right turn in, right turn out only, but it's going to be another great access for people getting in and out of our downtown area. It's going to be a handsome bridge, and as we talked about, we're dedicating it to more of the modern-day generals. If you go back historically, we have a lot of generals from Quincy, but in more recent years, you know, Joe Dunford's probably the most well-known one. He's chairman. He was chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was commandant of the Marine Corps, four-star general. Incredible legacy of service to our nation. See, General, four-star General James McConville, Chief of Staff of the Army as we speak, which is, you know, number one in the Army. I mean, he's amazing, continues to serve. Both Dunfords and McConvilles grew up in Marymount. General McConville's father, Joe, is still in Chickatobit, and General Dunford's parents are still in Narragansett. Remarkable. Families and dedication. Gordon Sullivan, he was Chief of Staff of the Army back in the 90s, and spent many, many years in that capacity, and has given great accolades about really rebuilding the Army at the time, because we weren't in a good way. Post-Vietnam, things were let go. He literally worked hard to rebuild it. So he grew up in Lincoln Square, part of our city. So four-star general there. So there's three four-star generals, bang. And then, of course, we have Ronald Rand, Air Force General. He was one of seven or eight boys, grew up in Quincy Point, just outside the square. Brigadier General in the United States Air Force, now retired, great guy. He was headed up the Medal of Freedom Foundation. I'm trying to think of the name of it, but he's served this country so well in so many ways. Another great guy. We have Frank McGinn, who is a two-star general with the National Guard, who has seen all of them have seen obviously a lot of action in their tenure in their positions, but we felt it important also to honor all those folks that served out of the reserve or out of the guard that went to the front line, just like the full-time soldiers did. So he was also on the state police for many years. He grew up in Adamshaw. Not Marymount, but Adamshaw. another great guy. He continues to serve. He's still in that capacity. Then we've got Charlie Sweeney, who is honored with a number of folks at the Atrium of Honor in North Quincy High School. Charlie Sweeney was a pilot, a flyer. I grew up in Montclair. They said he was crazy as a young guy. I say that in a positive way. He wanted to serve. He did serve. He's the only individual that served on both flights that dropped the atomic bombs in Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he became a major general before his service to our nation finished. So there's six individuals we'll be honoring with this General's Bridge, along with the park, which is going to be nearby, which will kind of tell this story. It's tough to tell the story on a bridge. So the name of the bridge will be General's Bridge, but the story of each of these guys will be told in the nearby park, the General's Park. And the two main drags, so the road coming off the bridge, which goes into Cliveden, which is going to be extended across Hancock into the new garage, the old Hancock lot, that will become Dunford Drive. And then the north, kind of the north-south direction road connecting Granite to Hannon Parkway will become McConville Way. You know, we're really going to spend some time honoring these individuals. We've got a great history and tradition in Quincy about people volunteering, going off to serve their nation in so many ways, whether it was, you know, Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, or Coast Guard. And we've got a great tradition here of the cream of the crop rising into these positions over time. So
it's truly amazing.
The leadership
all from here.
From Quincy, Mass. It's pretty incredible, really incredible. So
that's pretty awesome.
And you know, these guys, it's, you know, people joke and different things. Oh, he's going to have a good pension, all this stuff. These guys were, did everything asked of them, every aspect of it, right up through the line. Many of them were in the front line, saw a lot of action. Think about raising a family doing that. You don't see a family for months and months. You're moving constantly. You know, it's not an easy thing at all. So these guys' determination and dedication of service to nation is just unmatched. It's incredible. So we should honor their service. And the plan right now, Mark, is we're looking at probably of May of 2021, perhaps around Armed Services Day, which I think is May 17th. And we're going to plan a heck of a party for this great program.
As it should be. What an amazing thing. And by the way, I don't think you can remind folks enough, because these are the points that we always hear on social media when we get that mob-like mentality that we really just kind of ignore because you have to. You can't read it all. But MassDOT, thank you, Governor, is paying for the $10 million bridge.
That's correct. This Commonwealth of Massachusetts, we thank the governor. And we thank our legislative delegation. John Keenan, our state senator, the majority leader, Ron Mariano.
Sure.
Representative Bruce Ayers, Representative Tacky Chan, and Representative Dan Hunt, all of them have been so supportive of everything we do when we need that partnership with the state. So, we're grateful for all of that.
Well, we had a great President's Day last week, too. We just want to say thank you for everyone for coming out. And this is all part of what you had put an initiative forward to have sort of a major event every month in the city of Quincy. And we've become sort of a city of events a lot. So that was a great weekend. Last week it was a little chilly, but we had bands playing outside. We had all kinds of things for the kids, and it was great. John McDonald did a great job, but it was a great showing.
Good stuff. If anybody should celebrate President's Day, Quincy, Massachusetts should do it. So thank you.
Say that five times fast. You going to miss me?
Let me see how it goes. Send me a postcard, Mark.
So I just want you to get your haircut via FaceTime while you're in Ireland. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, the big haircut's coming up at Granite Telecommunications. Rob Hill and the team raise a lot of money for cancer research.
They certainly do.
I'm going to be in Ireland when that happens. So whether I get a cut over there or I get a cut before, or when I get back, one way or the other, I want to be supportive of that effort.
Well, let me know if you need me to do the cutting.
I don't think that'll happen. Thanks anyway, though.
Well, tune in to Podcast Quincy's City View with Mayor Tom Koch, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, folks. Thanks for listening.